Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course with your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit. Today's Soulmate Seminar is with Arielle Ford on the topic, Soulmate Manifestation Secrets, how to use the Law of Attraction to consciously attract the love of your life. Arielle Ford is the founder of the highly successful public relations firm, The Ford Group, the author of 7 books, including the international best-selling The Soulmate Secret, How to Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. She has helped to launch the careers of many best-selling self-help and spiritual authors, including Deepak Chopra, Jack Canfield, and Mark Victor Hansen of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Neil Donald Walsh, and many others.
So, Arielle, it is my honor and my privilege to welcome you this time as a guest and as one of the world's leading experts on manifesting love that you are. Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit.
Thank you, Claire. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, it's just been such an amazing time in the series, and it's great to have this time together to really dive deep into the Soulmate Secret approach to manifesting love. And you and Brian have already shared your extraordinary story of meeting, and I think maybe we can go into that again very briefly to start us off for those people who might have missed that earlier in the series.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, 25 years ago, I was really fortunate to learn basic manifestation prayers, processes, and rituals. We didn't call it Law of Attraction back then. We mostly called it manifestation. And I applied it to my career on every level and had tremendous success with it. I had the opportunity to work with almost every spiritual mind, body, spirit, alternative medicine author you could imagine, whether it was Deepak Chopra or Wayne Dyer or Marianne Williamson. And I knew this stuff worked like crazy for money and career and for business. But one day I woke up, I noticed that I was 44 years old and I had never gotten married. And I started thinking about, like, what would it take for me to find a soulmate? What would have to happen? And I looked at my career and I thought, well, I've managed to create and manifest this great career using these prayers and rituals and processes. What would happen if I applied them to my love life? And I honestly had no idea if they would work or not. But I sat down and made a long list of everything I'd ever done in that domain and systematically began to apply it to my love life. And within 6 months, I manifested my soulmate, Brian. On the day that we met, we both knew. 3 weeks later, we got engaged. And a year after that, we had 3 weddings. So that's the super short version of what happened. And, you know, once we got married, I never thought about it again, you know, until maybe 4 or 5 years later, we met this single woman somewhere, and she pulled me aside, and she whispered in my ear. She said, "How do I get a Brian?" And I said, "Oh, well, I can tell you what I did," and I spent many hours sharing with her all the prayers and processes and rituals I did, and I noticed that became a pattern. Like, you know, many times a week, women were grabbing me going, "How do I get a Brian?" But it still didn't dawn on me that there was anything to do about it. And then about 3 years ago, my sister Debbie asked me if I would give a 45-minute talk to several hundred of her coaches about how I manifested Brian. And I thought, sure, I'd be happy to do it. So I gave this little 45-minute talk. And when it was over, 200 people, like, stormed the stage and said, "I want the book. When's the book coming out?" And at that point, I had no interest or desire to write a book about it. But I thought, well, there's some people here who want this. Maybe I'll create an Internet product. So I created this thing I call the Soulmate Kit. It's soulmatekit.com, and it was a workbook and DVDs and CDs outlining and detailing everything that I did. And I put it up on the Internet and pretty much forgot about it. And about 18 months later, I got a call from HarperCollins that said, hey, we saw your Soulmate kit. We love it. Will you turn it into a book? So at that point, having worked as a literary agent for many years, I knew that that doesn't happen too often where the publisher hunts you down. It's like, sure, of course, I'll turn it into a book. And so 2 years ago, The Soulmate Secret came out, and I got booked on the Today Show and a lot of other national TV shows. I did about 75 radio interviews and all kinds of media. And the book just took off. And since then, it's been reprinted in 21 languages, and it has sold really well, and recently the paperback came out. So without ever intending to, what was just something I did for myself has now gone on to literally help thousands of people around the world. I get emails and Facebook messages almost every day from men and women of all ages sharing with me that they read the book, they did the simple steps in it, and they can't wait to share pictures from their wedding. So it's become its own little force, and of course it's nothing but fun. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about love all day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. And of course, that's how you and I came to meet, you know, because I was a fan of what you were doing, and we started talking about, well, you know, how could we join forces and get more people more in love and put more love on the planet? And here we are in the middle
absolutely.
Of the
it's a dream come true being a professional fairy godmother.
Isn't it the best possible job ever? It's just great. I love it.
Absolutely. Now, I love your definition of soulmates. Can you share that with us?
Yes. I believe that a soulmate is first and foremost somebody you can completely be yourself with, somebody with whom you share unconditional love. And when you look into each other's eyes, you have the experience of being home.
Hmm.
And if you accept that definition, then I would want you to know that you already have many soulmates in your life. You know, it could be your business partner, your best friend, your sister, your siblings, children, parents, dogs, cats. Chances are you have many soulmates. And the reason it's important to look at that, even though I know the people listening in are thinking about a romantic soulmate, you want to begin to notice the soulmates you already have, because by giving them a little more time and love and appreciation and gratitude, you start to become a magnet for even more love in your life.
Mm. I love that. I think that's my favorite definition of soulmates ever.
Yeah, I think the part about somebody you can totally be yourself with.
Yeah,
it's really
right.
Important.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the yearning that we have when we're looking for love. We're seeking a partner is to be seen and known and completely yourself.
Yeah, there's another definition that I really like as well that was in a movie with Susan Sarandon and Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez. The movie was called Do You Want to Dance? Or Shall We Dance? That's what it's called, Shall We Dance? And there's this scene where Susan Sarandon is sitting at a bar talking to some man, trying to explain to him why she loves being married. And the guy's, like, incredulous. And she says to him, we need a witness to our lives. There are a billion people on the planet. I mean, what does any one life really mean? But in a marriage, you're promising to care about everything. The good things, the bad things, the terrible things, the mundane things, all of it, all the time, every day. You're saying, your life will not go unnoticed because I will notice it. Your life will not go unwitnessed because I will be your witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing that scene, and it was like everything sort of lined up for me then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the essence of a great marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're there to witness each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what are the key steps to manifesting a soulmate with a soulmate secret approach?
Well, the first step is all about forgiveness. It's about forgiving yourself for all the ways you judge yourself as having done relationship wrong in the past. And it's about forgiving all the exes in your past that you're judging as having done you wrong, kind of like the old country songs. And I believe it's really important to do this step, although a lot of people like to skip it. I think it's a critical part of the whole thing, because you don't want to drag the baggage of the past into the future. And you don't want to use these very powerful manifestation tools on top of the garbage of the past. Or as my sister Debbie likes to say, you don't want to put ice cream on top of poop. Kind of graphic, but it makes the point.
Right.
So forgiveness is really the first step. The second step is all about having a clear intention and really asking yourself, is now the time for me to manifest a soulmate? Do I really have the time and energy to nurture another being right now? And if you don't, if the answer is no, now isn't the time, then give yourself a break and stop thinking about it and stop torturing yourself saying, oh, I really should be looking for a relationship. Because if you're really busy and you don't even have time to take care of yourself, then just, you know, say, you know what, maybe 6 months from now will be the time, but for right now I'm going to do what needs to be done in my life. And if the answer is yes, now is the time, then the next step is about making a soulmate wish list, which is a whole lot harder than it sounds. It's actually, I think, one of the more difficult parts of the process. Because it's not a wish list like, I need to go to the store and get milk, butter, eggs, and bread. Or, my soulmate needs to be 6'2", 175 pounds, dark curly hair, and brown eyes. It's really about knowing yourself well enough to know what are the heart traits and qualities you desire in another, and what will your lifestyle together look like. So, for instance, when I was making my soulmate wish list, I knew one of the most important qualities my soulmate would have would be that he'd be generous. Not necessarily with his wallet, although that was a piece of it, because I had a father who, when he opened his wallet, it squeaked. You know, he was very tight with a buck. But more importantly, with his time and his attention. I knew enough about myself that I wanted somebody that I would be the center of their universe. And knowing that about myself, I also knew that I wouldn't be looking for the CEO of a Fortune 100 company, because that personality type is married to their work. And I wanted somebody who really had the time and the heart space to be devoted to me and to the relationship. So when you're putting this list together, you really want to see what's my heart calling for. And sometimes to do that, you have to go to the past. You have to look and see, well, what don't I want for sure? You know, and if betrayal's your issue, if your last lover was a lying, cheating, you know what, then when you're making this soulmate wish list, you know to put things down in a very positive way. You know, my soulmate is honest and loyal. My soulmate is open, willing, and available for a long-term monogamous relationship. So that's really the next step, is to create this soulmate wish list. And it can be as long as you need it to be.
So I know this is a question that I've received a lot, and I'd love to get your answer to it, but does it matter whether you put things in the positive, or is it okay to put it in the negative? Like, definitely no alcoholics need apply.
Yeah. No, it should be in a positive statement. So, you know, if you don't want an addict, you want somebody who is, you know, really focused on health, fitness, and well-being. Mm-hmm. You know, and because there's something, and I don't really know the science on it, but I know that in the law of attraction, they don't ever want you to put something down as a negative. And I did have a problem with that on one thing, because I hate football. I have an allergy to football. I grew up with a father and a brother who were football fanatics. There was always a football game on the TV. And I didn't want to have a soulmate who was a football maniac. So I think I ended up wording it in such a way as that, you know, my soulmate has a very low interest in football, something like that. But, you know, of course, the universe has a sense of humor. So what, I didn't get a football fanatic, I got a basketball fanatic. And I have learned to love the game of basketball. It wasn't, I had no allergy to it, but Brian's totally into basketball. So, yeah, the answer is it should be stated in the positive. And, you know, I try to sway people to think about it this way. You know, if you're a 5'10" woman and you want somebody who's as tall or taller than you, then yes, of course, if that's important to your long-term happiness, put down whatever physical traits are critical to your long-term happiness. But I wouldn't make that list too long. I mean, the only physical trait I actually had on my list was that my soulmate would have gray hair. And honestly, I don't know where that came from. It's just that whenever I would try to imagine what my soulmate looked like, the only clue I got was gray hair. Mm-hmm. And Brian went prematurely gray in his 30s, so I ended up getting gray hair. Which was one of the ways I recognized him.
So, okay, so what's the next step? I have my list.
You have your list. So the next step is have a trusted friend review the list with you. You want to do this to make sure you didn't leave out anything important. So, for instance, I'm a cat lover. Always had cats, always will have cats. And it was critical to me that my soulmate also be a cat lover because I had dated several guys who were allergic to cats. And there's nothing more unattractive than a guy who's coughing, sneezing, choking, nose running, eyes running every time he walks into your house. So there may be something that you're not thinking of that's absolutely critical to your long-term happiness. You want a friend to go over the list with you. And, or, you know, it may be that you're training for a triathlon. You know, you're very active. You're not going to want to end up with a couch potato. So have your friend go over the list with you, make sure everything's on it. And then once you have the list, I like to release it to the universe with a ritual. And I'll tell you exactly what I did to release my list, but then I'll also share some options of other ways to do it because mine was pretty elaborate. So I wrote out my list, all 48 items, on a beautiful piece of stationery. And then on a Friday of a new moon, Fridays because Fridays are my favorite day, and they're the day of Venus, goddess of love and beauty, and a new moon, because that's when I always start new projects. I went down to the cove, down to the ocean, and I read through my list one last time, and I said a deep prayer of gratitude. I thanked the universe for sending me my perfect right partner, not a perfect person, but perfect for me. And then I burned the list, and I scattered the ashes into the ocean. And then I took myself out to lunch, and I ordered a glass of champagne, and I toasted my soulmate, and I said, wherever you are right now, just know that the cosmic welcome mat is now open. Mm. And it was a celebration, and it was a very, really happy day, because I knew that from past experience that doing things with a clear intention and an open heart and a willingness and a knowingness that my soulmate was indeed on the way. And then I went home and I created a treasure map, or some people call them vision boards, where I cut out photos and images and words and phrases from magazines, and I collaged them onto a piece of poster board. So it became a visual representation of the future that I was creating. Mm. And I had a love altar already made and up in the relationship corner of my bedroom. And this new treasure map became the focal point of this love altar. So every day I would sit down at sunset and I would meditate in front of the altar. And then after my meditation, I would light some candles. And inside of my head, I would have a conversation with my soulmate. Mm. I didn't know his name. I didn't know where he was. But I began the relationship.
Mm. Say more about that.
I knew that he was out there. I didn't know when he was going to arrive, but I was trusting that on some quantum physics level that if I began talking to him, he would hear me. And there was a day when I was doing this where I could literally feel his energy in the room with me, and it was so strong and so palpable that I was actually afraid to open my eyes because I thought if I open my eyes, I'll see him, and that would have freaked me out, so I didn't open my eyes. But when Brian and I actually finally did meet and we began to talk about where we had lived at different points in the previous months, it turned out that at the time I was having this experience of feeling him in the room with me, he was living in the hotel across the street from where I lived.
Wow.
The balcony of his room looked out onto the balcony of my condo.
Oh, my goodness.
So he literally was across the street. Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But you can start the conversation, mm-hmm. you know. It's not our job to know how or when or where we're going to meet our soulmate. But it is absolutely our job to be open, willing, and available and receptive.
Well, how do you find, because, you know, I had a very powerful experience of that as well. I'm wondering how you knew that you weren't making it out, that this was something that you were actually really forging a connection. You know, what's the difference between beginning the relationship versus pretending? I know that that's a question that people have quite a lot.
Well, I think it's okay to pretend. You know, there's that old phrase, fake it till you make it. You know, I probably was making it up. But at the same time, it was also real. So I wasn't judging that, well, is this real or isn't it real? I was choosing to believe that it was real.
So don't worry about whether or not it's real.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
no. It was like, it was
begin
gonna be,
the practice.
Exactly. It was gonna be, it's a practice that I call living as if. Living as if, knowing and trusting that the one you've asked for is already yours. And that's how this has always worked for me, is that, you know, when I decided in 1991 that I wanted to represent Deepak Chopra, who was really an unknown at that time, but I had seen him speak once, and I decided to put my attention on manifesting him as a client. And within 7 days, he was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say, well, how did you know you were going to do it? I just trusted. I knew I was good enough. I knew that he was America's best-kept secret, and if he was as smart as I thought he would, he'd be open to it. So, you know, in the ethers, I sent him messages, and you know, the universe conspired to put us together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we get to, you know, we're adults, and we get to choose our thoughts and our emotions, and we get to manage them. So I was choosing to believe that not only was my soulmate out there, but that he was looking for me. And I wanted to make sure I turned my heart light on to super high beam so he could find me.
And so what began to shift in you as a result of that?
You know, I began to wake up every morning in this state of high anticipation and excitement.
Mm.
You know, I knew that I had set something into motion. And even though, you know, somebody could have said to me, hey, you're 44, you haven't gotten married yet, what makes you think it's going to happen for you now? You know, all the good ones are taken already. I wasn't going to buy into that conversation. And I'll tell you a funny story about one of the things that really helped me stay out of that negativity. I watched Oprah one day when she had Barbara Streisand on the show. And Barbara Streisand was 55 years old at that moment. She had just gotten engaged to James Brolin, who was a pretty hunky guy. And I had this realization that if God had the perfect man for her, you know, ultra-wealthy, isolated diva, if there was the perfect man for her, I was going to be a piece of cake. You know, I was 11 years younger. I wasn't isolated. I'm not a diva. I'm not living out in Malibu. You know, so I just knew in that moment. And I just kept staying focused on, you know, the joy and the excitement and the anticipation. Now, yes, were there moments of doubt? Absolutely. There were days when I woke up a little angry, a little frustrated, a little resigned. Oh, he's, like, so late, you know. Like, you know, I've been in my anticipation state for 4 months and 5 days. Where is he? And whenever I would get into that state, I created a little exercise for myself where I would get out my egg timer, and I would set it for 3 minutes. And for 3 minutes, I would let myself have the most god-awful negative thoughts. You know, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too damaged, it's never going to happen, life has passed me by, I'm not lucky in love, it's going to happen for everybody but me, I blew it, I should have gotten married when I was 29, what was I thinking? And I just let myself have all of those thoughts.
For 3 minutes. Only
3 minutes. Actually, I couldn't even go 3 minutes because at a minute and a half, I started laughing. Because there was a part of me that knew it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to let that release as opposed to trying to suppress it and pretend it wasn't there. I didn't want to be passive-aggressive with myself. So I just allowed myself 3 minutes to vent. And then I reset the egg timer for 3 minutes, and I filled myself up with a whole lot more positive thoughts about, you know what, I'm a loving, kind person. People like me. I'm friendly. I deserve to be loved. I have a lot to offer. I have a lot to give. You know, God's got the right man out there for me. He's on the way. Maybe he's a little busy right now, but he's coming. I know he's coming, and I deserve it.
So very little space for negativity. Absolute alignment with possibility.
Yes, you know, I think, wasn't it G.D. Houston we were talking to recently who was having this conversation with us about watch your thoughts. She, in fact, I wrote it down. She said, we're walking magnets. Pull yourself out of the mud of negative thoughts. And that's something we have a choice over, you know. I mean, children don't often have a choice when they're spinning out of control and having a tantrum. You know, they don't have the wherewithal to, you know, go into their emotional toolkit and do some tapping or Sedona method or heart lock-in. But I've been studying this stuff for a long time. I got a whole toolkit.
Well, and I think what's really striking about your story is, I mean, so many of us have, and we've kind of read this as concepts, but you really did it. You really took it seriously, like for real, no kidding. There was no room in your consciousness really to align with those ideas for more than a minute and a half every now and then.
Right. Yeah, no, I was serious. You know, I at that point in my life, at the age of 44, I had, it was like sort of the last mountain for me to climb. You know, I was really happy in every area of my life, and I wanted to share myself with somebody else. I wanted to really break through any barriers that I had. And, you know, I had a really good therapist at the time, and I told, you know, I shared with him I was ready for this, and he was so great. He said to me, he said, I'm going to hold the space for you to manifest your soulmate. And no one had ever said that to me before. Like, wow, isn't that great? Somebody else is going to share in consciousness with me my dream.
Wow.
You know, so that's something else when you have your best friend looking over your soulmate wish list. Ask them to hold in consciousness with you that it'd be easy and effortless and fun for you to manifest the man or woman of your dreams.
Mm-hmm. And so you just continued to stay the course with that practice all
every
the way
day.
To meeting
it was an everyday thing. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time, this was back in the mid-90s, online dating, I don't think I'd even heard of it at that point. And I was working from home, and I was living in sort of a remote area, and I didn't meet a lot of men. Every day I saw the mailman, Timmy, he was married, and the FedEx guy, he was gay. The UPS guy was 19, and the water guy was also married. So those were the guys in my life. And anytime I would have the thought, well, how's anybody ever going to find me here in my house with four other women where I was working, I reminded myself that it wasn't my job to know how. My job was just to keep trusting and trusting and knowing that at the right time, at the right moment, it would happen. And what ended up happening was I was doing book publicity at the time. I had a client in Portland, Oregon. I had booked him on a national TV show, and the producer of the show called on a Wednesday and said, we've decided we don't want your client to come to the studio in L.A. We're going to send a crew to his house in Portland. Can you make the arrangements? So I ended up flying to Portland on a Friday morning to supervise this shoot. And the man who picked me up at the airport was my client's business partner. It turned out to be Brian.
Wow.
We met at the airport. He was my ride.
Wow, that's amazing. And I believe you have a friend, who Peggy, who manifested her soulmate coming to her door. What was that story?
Yes, my friend Peggy.
She had a similar story, right?
Yeah, Peggy was a divorced mom. She was a single mom living in a rural area of Ottawa, Canada. She was an internet marketer, so she worked from home. Almost never left home except to take her kid to hockey practice or go to the grocery store. But Peggy was an expert manifester. Her specialty was manifesting money. She's still really good at it. And she decided that she was ready for her soulmate. And she made her soulmate wish list. She made a vision board. And she had an affirmation that she said every day which was, my soulmate will find me. My soulmate will find me. And one morning at 8 in the morning, her doorbell rang, and there was a very handsome guy standing at the door with his dog, and he said to her, you know, hi, my name's Denis. He's a French-Canadian dude. And he said, I'm new to the neighborhood, but I've seen you walking your dog, and I have to go to work right now, and I can't find my dog sitter. Is there any way you could watch my dog today? And of course she said yes. And when he came back at 6 o'clock to pick up his dog, she had the wine and cheese ready. And they've now been happily married for 7 years, and they have two dogs. You know,
wow.
And she was in her
amazing.
Early 40s when she did this. So, you know, it's completely possible. I have another Peggy story. It's my mother-in-law, Peggy. She was married for 55 years, and then she was a widow for 5 years. And then she called me one day at the age of 80, and she said, I'm ready for a relationship. And I was like, you are? She goes, yes, I want you to tell me, how did you manifest my son? Teach me this process. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, she's 80. How is this going to happen? But she, you know, she didn't seem to be bothered by that at all. That was like, you know, wasn't going to stop her. So we went through all the basic steps, and 3 weeks later she called me up and she said, I've got a date tomorrow. I said, you do? How did that happen? She said, well, you know, my friend Connie, the realtor. And I said, yeah. She said, well, Connie came over with her laptop the other day. Connie's like in her 50s. And she got me onto the World Wide Web, that's what she called it. And she said, we went to this place called Match.com. Have you ever heard of it? I said, yes, Peggy, I've heard of Match.com. She said, well, there were three guys in the over 80 category, and one of them's a widower, and he's a retired lawyer like my dear departed Wayne. So Connie sent him an email with my phone number, because you know I don't do email. I said, yes, Peggy, I know that. She said, well, he called this morning. We spoke for 5 hours, and we're having lunch tomorrow. So she and this man, John, met for lunch, and they fell madly in love, and they began dating. And then John proposed, and Peggy said no. She said, I've already been married, but I'll shack up with you. And John said no, because he was an elder in the church. So then Brian got involved and became their counselor, and they eventually decided that they would both sell their homes and move into a cottage on the grounds of an assisted living facility together. And they were just like teenagers in love. Every time we'd walk in a room where they were kissing, hugging, canoodling, holding hands, massaging each other's necks. It was just amazing to see. And for the next 3.5 years, they had this amazing time together until last summer when John died at the age of 87 after a long illness. So I know how powerful these tools and techniques and prayers and rituals are. And it's not even that hard. In fact, it's quite simple. It just requires a little time and energy and intention and attention.
And, you know, these stories are just so inspiring to hear, and I wish I had heard them much earlier in my life, because I had all sorts of ideas of non-possibility about why I couldn't have love like many people do. And I'm wondering, now with the book coming out and being published in so many languages and impacting so many people around the world, you know, you've had the opportunity to work firsthand with thousands of people and hear their stories. Would you say that this approach really does work for everyone, regardless of your age, your background, your past experiences, your present circumstances?
Yeah, that's been my experience. I have not come across anybody for whom it doesn't work unless they're completely, you know, committed to the idea that it won't work for them.
Mm.
You know, it's basic law of attraction. The law of attraction states we draw to us the people, places, and experiences that match our state of being. So if our state of being is a no, it's not going to work for me, then you're going to get to be right. You know, so a lot of times we have to work with people overcoming their beliefs. And what's so funny is, you know, once I start talking to them, I can usually show them in 2 minutes all the places in their life where they've already been a successful manifester. I mean, if you've ever decided, I need to get a job, and then you got a job, it's manifesting 101.
Mm.
You know, you decided what kind of job you wanted, what kind of salary. You made a resume, you networked, you went on interviews. I mean, you took certain action steps. You might have imagined what kind of clothes you would wear to work, what it would be like to be getting up every morning and making that commute, and, you know, what you would do with the money when it came in. You know, there was all this activity going on that you were focused on, and the end result was you got the job. And it's really just like that with manifesting a soulmate. You know, there's a beginning and a middle and an end, and then there's a new beginning again. But it's about time, energy, attention, and intention. And the other way to think of it is, like, if you decided that you were going to go to college and get your master's degree, you would know that there'd be time and energy and money and attention involved, right?
Right.
You wouldn't expect to sit home on the couch and have the degree knock on the door and land in your lap, right?
Mm-hmm.
There'd be something to do. And there are people out there living with this magical belief that if it's meant to be, it will happen. And yes, that's true for half of 1% of the population. It just happens. But for the rest of us mere mortals, we need to be part of the plan. You know, we need to co-create with God or Goddess or the universe or whatever higher power you subscribe to. And we need to get into action and you know, put ourselves out there a little bit. So for the other 99.75%, the soulmate secret works.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you can share about those people that you see who are particularly successful. Is there anything that they do that's differently, that's different to perhaps people who say that they've tried it and it didn't work?
Yeah, there's two parts to it. The ones that I've seen are the most successful put in the time and energy. It wasn't like, you know, they ordered the soulmate kit and expected the fiancé to jump out of the box. They actually, you know, read the workbook, watched the DVD, listened to the feelingizations, did the forgiveness process as they took the steps. You know, and the ones that say, oh, well, I tried that and it didn't work for me, you know, they probably gave up 2 days too early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have one friend, Cindy, who's this beautiful woman in her mid-50s. She was married for 20 years, and her husband cheated on her with a younger woman, and she was divorced for 12 years. And everybody who met her just thought, God, what, she's such a hottie. You know, why hasn't somebody scooped her up? And for the last 3 years, you know, every once in a while we get together and we go over soulmate wish list and her processes. And finally I just said to her, you know what, I know your soulmate's out there, but right now isn't the time for him. There's a thing called divine timing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're ready, but he's not. So you just keep living your extraordinary life and you keep doing the things that you're doing. And I promise you, the day that you meet him will be the day that you know that it was the perfect time for you to meet. And she called me 3 days ago, and she said, I'm in love. What happened? She said, well, a month ago, I spoke at this convention, and I met this man, and there were sparks, and we've had dinner. And you were right. For the last 3 years, his wife has been dying of cancer. She died 6 months ago. And now he says he's ready, and I'm the one, and he's the one for me, and I couldn't be happier. And so, you know, stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get to choose the timing. But we do get to choose when we're ready.
Mm-hmm. So you work with something called feelingizations, and we did a little bit in the introductory call. But I'm wondering if you can share what the difference is between a visualization and a feelingization, and then if you might be willing to guide us through and have an experience.
Sure, yes. A visualization is when you're seeing something in your mind's eye, and it's very mental and sort of visual. You can see it. But I call them feelingizations because, for me, it doesn't work without the emotional component. You know, you really need to be able to feel in every cell of your body that what you've asked for is already yours. So that's why I call it a feelingization. And yeah, I'd be happy to take everybody through a really short feelingization so you can get a sense of it. So I think what everyone should do is just, if you have anything on your lap, put it on the floor and get as comfortable as you can in the chair that you're sitting in. And if you have any cell phones or PDAs, turn them to silent so you're not distracted. And then just gently close your eyes. And if your shoulders are up around your ears, just let them drop as you sink into the chair. And then take a long, slow, deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And take another long, slow, deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And lightly let your attention drop to the area around your heart. And as you're breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, with your imagination, feel that you're breathing in and out through your heart, so that you keep your attention lightly on the area around your heart. And as you begin to grow more quiet, more still, more peaceful, I want you to remember a time when you experienced appreciation. It could be something that happened today or long ago. Something or someone for whom you felt the feeling appreciation. And take this experience of appreciation, hold it in the area around your heart, and then notice where else in your body you have the sensation, the feeling, or the memory of appreciation. Just breathe into the feeling of appreciation. Now let that go, let that just drift away, and call up a time or an experience of when you felt gratitude. Gratitude for something or someone, recent or past. And it could be for something as simple as the sound of the ocean, the sweet smell of a flower. Call up the feeling of gratitude. And as you're breathing into this experience or feeling of gratitude, notice where else in your body you experience the feeling or the memory of gratitude. Now let that drift away and call up an experience of a time when you felt love. It could be as simple as looking into the eyes of a baby or a child or a pet. Any experience of love, of feeling love. Hold this experience in the center of your heart. And then notice, where else in your body do you experience the memory of love? Take another long, slow, deep breath. And let the experience of love wash over you as a wave. And then let it go, let it drift away. Begin to feel the earth under your feet and the seat under your butt. And drift back up. And when you're ready, just gently open your eyes. So that's where I begin a feelingization from, just putting myself back into the feelings of love and appreciation and gratitude. And then once you're there in that heart space, then you can drop in whatever other desires you want to manifest. But you manifest it, you drop it in as if you're experiencing it right now in present moment awareness, not like it's someday in the future, if right? And, you know, the basis for it is the heart lock-in from the Institute of Heart Math. I mean, these people are absolutely brilliant. They've done all this research that shows that when you're doing a heart lock-in, when you're in your heart having these feelings of love, appreciation, and gratitude, you literally put your electromagnetic field further out into the world. You actually raise your immune system for up to 8 hours, as opposed to being in the experience of fear or anger, where you're suppressing your immune system for 8 hours. So you're literally turning your heart light on when you begin from this space.
So from here, would we see ourselves together with our soulmate, or we'd see our soulmate standing in front of us? What's the most powerful way to do?
You know, there's lots of ways to do it. It depends where you're starting from. I don't know that you necessarily need to see anything. It's more about a feeling. Like sometimes you might just want to imagine that you're lying in bed on a Saturday morning, your eyes are closed, that you can sense another body in the bed with you. You can't see them, but you can feel their energy. And what is that experience feeling like to know that you're at long last with your beloved, that you're together, that you can spend the rest of the day with them, the rest of your life with them? What feelings of joy, bliss, contentment, satisfaction, and be in those feelings as opposed to trying to really see anything. It's more about the feeling energy.
Wonderful. That's just such a wonderful practice.
And like I want to too.
I want to do it with all sorts of things.
Yeah, you can do it with everything, you know. And you know, in the soulmate kit, there's about 7 different feelingizations to take people through, from, you know, letting go of past lovers that are not your soulmate and really unhooking from them on a deep level. There's one for turning on your heart light. There's a forgiveness one. There's one, there's a whole bunch of them in there, but they're really fun to do, and they really relax you as well. And there's really no wrong way to do them. I know people often get a little nervous about these things. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? There's just no wrong way to do these.
So in the years since the book has come out, what new things have you learned about the process of manifesting love?
You know, I would say there's some stuff around letting go of the past, you know, that I've learned from some people that, you know, when you and I were talking with Dr. Helen Fisher, and she was talking about the brain chemistry that happens, particularly with women who become bonded to somebody through the release of the hormone oxytocin. And then if they're dumped, if they're left, they have this love addiction that she says is harder to break than a cocaine addiction. You know, that's just getting over that is so difficult. Which, having experienced that, I knew it was that hard, but I thought it was just me. I didn't realize that everybody who has ever been dumped felt that significant level of pain. I mean, the way I used to describe it was like having a 747 crash into the center of your chest. You know, it was just so overwhelming and so painful. And, you know, I loved what Dr. Pat Allen had to say about doing the 60-day detox to get over that kind of love pain, where you cannot see them, hear them, smell them, taste them, touch them, no emails, no texting, you know, total cut off from their energy on every level, so that you can heal and you can detox and you can, you know, start that process where you would be free to love again. Those were some of the more interesting things I've learned. And I would say the other thing is really about, you know, starting from beginner's mind. because there's so, you know, since the movie The Secret came out and the book came out, there were so many people who were introduced to the law of attraction, and they may have tried it and not been successful with it. So now they sort of, you know, they roll their eyes, they give up on it. And I really want to encourage them not to give up on it, because what happened with the movie is they left out the most important part of the process, the emotional component. You can't just, you know, believe it, see it, and expect it to happen. You have to be able to feel it and know in every cell of your body that what you've asked for is already yours. And one of my favorite stories around that came from my friend Greg Braden. And Greg tells this story about a friend of his who was a shaman that he ran into one day. Greg lives in Taos, New Mexico. And he ran into his friend, the shaman, and he said to him, you know, why don't we go to lunch on Saturday? And the shaman said, sure, I'd love to, but first, why don't we drive out to the desert? There's a ritual I want to do to see if I can do something about this terrible drought we've been experiencing. Greg was all for it. He said, great, I'll pick you up at 11 o'clock. So 11 o'clock, he picks up the shaman. Shaman gives him directions to drive out into the desert. They drive for a half hour, and then the shaman says to him, okay, pull over here. So Greg pulls over, and the shaman says, okay, you wait in the car. I'll be back in a little bit. And Greg's, like, really bummed out. He thought he was going to get to participate, but he's been told to wait in the car. So the shaman goes out into the desert and comes back 10 minutes later, jumps in the car and says, okay, I'm hungry, let's go eat. And Greg said, not so fast. You were only gone 10 minutes. What did you do? And the shaman said, well, I walked out about 100 yards. I did an offering to the four directions. I took off my shoes. I let myself have the feeling of damp, wet sand between my toes. And then I breathed in the damp air, and I let myself feel how soaked the earth was from the coming rainstorm. And I could feel it, I could smell it, I could taste it. And I said a prayer of gratitude to the universe for taking care of this drought. And now I'm hungry, let's go eat. So they went out to lunch, and a half hour later, the skies opened up and it poured. And what I love about that story is it just so clearly demonstrates the process of manifestation. You know, he didn't go out there and raise his fist to God and say, can't you see we need rain? Please make it rain. He went out there with a prayer of gratitude, and then he experienced the damp earth, and he trusted and he knew that it had already rained, and then the rains came.
Beautiful. Just a wonderful, wonderfully rich, I can feel it in my body, metaphor for the process itself. So Ariel, it's just been an absolute joy to have this time to go through the Soulmate Secret process with you. And I know it's outlined in greater depth in your book, and I'm wondering if you can share about that and where people can go to find out more about the book and about the kit.
The kit is at soulmatekit.com, and there's some great fun videos of Brian and I on there, and of several couples who met by using the Soulmate Kit, soulmatekit.com. And the book is in bookstores everywhere, or the easiest and most inexpensive place to get it is on Amazon, amazon.com. It's The Soulmate Secret. I think it's like $9. And I always tell people, you know, if your love life isn't worth $9, I'm not sure you're ready. Because Amazon makes it really affordable. But everything that I used and that thousands of other people have used to manifest love is detailed in the book. And if you want the home study course with the DVDs and the CDs and all of that, you can go to soulmatekit.com. But here's what I know for sure. It absolutely works. Mm-hmm. It's worked for men. It's worked for women, old, young, skinny, fat, rich, poor. It's just a matter of saying, you know what? I'm ready for love, and I'm willing to put in a little time to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. So great. Well, Ariel, thank you again so much for joining us this time in the role of being a guest and leading us through. And I'm wondering if you can close us with a short poem.
Oh, I'd love to. This is one of my favorites by Rumi. The minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind that was. Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for all that you do and all the love that you spread. And you and Brian are such a profound inspiration to me and to so many of us from all over the world. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course. For more information about how you can download the audios in this series or order the CD set and companion workbook, please visit soulmateaudios.com. Again, that's soulmateaudios.com. On behalf of Ariel Ford, Claire Zammit, and our event partners, we want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much love and support on your journey to manifesting your soulmate.